Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a client story today, and I've named the female client Jean. And she asks at the beginning of the session for a very open session. But I want to explain that. So during the consent process, I go through at the beginning and say what the services are, and I offer a list of the 9 services. And then I explain to the client that an open session means that they're going straight to the spirit guides in particular, and that that means that that will give them access to 8 of the 9 services, and that they can be ambiguous, and they can say that they're just going open in that regard, and that the guides have the control over the information and which of the 9 services they want, or they can be more specific and they can pick one of those 8 services and get right in it and say, I want past lives, or I'm here because I want a medical intuitive session, I want a medical reading on my horse. Or they can do the opposite of the going to the guides in an open session and ask for medium, which puts medium in a category all by itself. And I explain that. And then I say, in medium, you can ask for the specific person that you choose. So I go through, I explain the whole process, and she goes, well, aren't you just going to tell me who you've been getting?
Okay. Can I do something fun here?
Yeah.
I want everyone to visualize sitting down at a restaurant booth, and the server puts a menu in front of you, and you're like, you know what? Just bring me whatever you think I'd like. That's what an open session is. They don't know you. Like, you don't know them.
Yeah.
And it's just, bring me whatever, and I'm going to be happy with whatever you put in front of me because I genuinely am open to anything on this menu. Mm-hmm. Versus if you said, you know what? I want one of your pizzas. I don't care which one. So that's like choosing medium and saying anyone who comes through, I just want medium. Mm-hmm. I want a pizza. You put whatever toppings you want on it. Okay? Versus saying, I would like your steak and cheese melt. That's right. Saying I want a medical reading on my horse, yeah. Right? Like you listeners, you people know how to be specific because
yes,
you know how to order off a menu.
That's right.
You don't turn to the server and say, well, you should have known what to bring me. And I recognize that some of you are sitting there going, yeah, but the difference is being psychic. You're still doing the ordering. You're still responsible to look at the menu and decide what you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my metaphor.
Okay. Thank you. So I take a while to explain that at the beginning of every single session to every single client, unless they've seen me in a session before and they've been through that process. So there are no exceptions. Oh, we got company here today. So I go through and explain it. And then she says to me, well, I want open. So that's an indication to me that she's asking for the spirit guides and not dead people, because I've been very specific, as I said, that if you want medium, you're saying medium, you're picking it. It is one of the 9 services, and it's not one of the 8 that is open with the spirit guides. So she says, open. So I go to the spirit guides, and the guides look at me and they go, no, no, this is not what she wants. She wants medium. I'm like, I've just gone through explaining it in great detail. And they said, yes, we heard you. But I said, did she hear me? And I said, because I checked in and I asked her if she understood. And she said, yes. And I asked if she had any questions about that to clarify it. And she said she didn't have any. And the spirit guide said to me, yes, this is her pattern. Mm-hmm. She has so much anxiety all the time that she doesn't listen. She gaps out, she tunes out, she goes into freeze mode, she doesn't listen. And I said, oh, okay, I get it. okay. And I said, what do you want me to do? And they said, we want you to mention that she freezes. We'd like you to bring up that she actually wants medium and that she's not listening. Two things. So she wants medium and that she's not listening and that she has this freeze mode and this type of behavior. And I said, okay, now I know right there that that's setting me up for conflict. As a, well, it is potentially.
Potential, yeah.
Because she, in that type of situation, could come right back and then attack me. Mm-hmm. I know that. And so the guides are like, no, we want you to bring this up because this is important. And we want her to get what she wants, which is medium. But we also want her to be able to see her behavior. So we are approaching two things here. So I said, okay. So I say to Jean, Jean, the guides are saying that you go into a freeze mode and that you have a hard time listening and that you don't stay engaged. So when I offered you the consent process, you tune out. And she just looks at me and she goes, I thought you were a medium.
Well, that's nice validation.
Oh,
backhanded.
Yes. She says, I just thought you were psychic and I thought you knew what you were doing here. And I said, okay. I said, this is exactly what the spirit guides want to talk to you about, is that when you go into the freeze mode during the consent process and don't know what's going on because you haven't paid attention, that your second response is to go into fight. And I said, so this is the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. And they want to point out to you what you're doing. They know you want medium. And she goes, well, you'd never know it by your behavior. And I said, well, actually, it's written right on my page. So I showed her my page that was sitting in front of me.
Which sucks because that's another attack that you either have to choose to educate.
Yes.
Or defend yourself.
Exactly.
So you're walking the tightrope of, okay, I'll choose to defend in this moment and show my paper. I'll choose to educate in the next attack. Yeah. I'll choose to show paper in the next, because the attacks are going to keep coming.
Exactly.
If the spirit guides are going to get their message out.
Yeah, that is exactly. So I said to her, well, it is here on the page that this is what you wanted. And she goes, okay, good. So who'd you get? And I said, no, we're not supposed to skip over that. The guides wanted to talk to you about the fact that this is a repeated behavior in your life. And she goes, well, that's true. She says, because everybody I know always tells me I don't listen.
That's fascinating to me that nothing about your behavior shifted. You've been consistent in the way that you're confronting and channeling, essentially. Mm-hmm. And yet something in her was like, okay, I can put some armor down in this moment or some swords down and say, well, that's true. So it's like, I don't know what was enough to like assuage her fight mode to be able to say that's true.
Yeah. And like, I have to tell you that I hope it's part of the energy healing that happens that I'm doing. I hope that it is also my tone of voice. I really try and modulate my voice. I really pay attention that I use a deeper voice and that I don't talk like this and that I talk like this. And I also try very hard to pay attention to the speed with which I speak so that I'm not talking like this and speaking fast, but that I actually slow my voice down so that she feels safe. So I do my best to listen to what the spirit guides advise me to do, because they know what's best going to help the client. Now, having said all of that about my tone of voice and the speed and everything and listening to the guides, it doesn't always work because the person might behave quite well for the rest of the session or not, or they might be fine in the session and then it shows up in social media or an email where the fight mode comes back and it's displayed publicly instead of dealing with it in the session, which is what the guides are trying to do. And which is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to provide the safety for them to be able to deal with their ability to deal with conflict or to deal with how they behave in a safe environment at the time. So then the guides say, okay, we wanted to explain about the anxiety that she gets. We wanted to tell her that it comes from childhood. We wanted her to know that this is something to deal with in therapy, and we want you to say it that way. We want you to remind her. She's been asked before to go to therapy, but we would like to be the ones to confirm that her humans are right, that she needs a professional to be able to break this down with her because she has core wounds from her childhood. And because she's not dealing with any of those, it's repeatedly occurring, like her behavior and attack and defend and freeze. And she goes into people pleasing at times. All of these different responses not only fatigue her, but fatigue everybody in her life. And people are telling her that. They're telling her they're tired of her. They're telling it to her. So I offer this to her in the ways that the guides say it, as a source of support, as a source of giving her clarity, as a way to identify in words what she can say when she shows up to therapy. So they actually give it to her very, very clearly. And she says to me, I just thought we were going to do medium. And the guides say to me, okay, we are done trying to offer the help that we can. Go ahead, switch services and go to medium.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to add anything?
No.
So I then go through and I explain medium to her, where I explain the process of asking or giving validations.
What type of pizza would you like?
Yeah. I explain that some of the validations are going to be written on paper, some are not. She's going to get a combination. And I explain the whole process that she's the one that's going to mark me in real time. So she's going to be able to see the validations as they come through and say if they're right or wrong. And I'm going to put a check mark if it's right. I'm going to put an X if it's wrong. So she can see how accurate I am in real time. And that if there are any problems where she thinks there is no validations, that it's right there on the sheet to show her that there are. And so I ask her for consent. Do you agree to this process? Which I ask every single person in every single session. And she says, yes, yeah. And then I proceed to give her some validations. So here, I want to tell you what happened. I asked her for who she wanted. And I explained that I don't choose who each person gets because people play games. Not everybody, but some people will say, well, whoever you get. And if I say, well, I've got your mom, and I've got a miscarriage, and I've got your dad. They let me go through and fill the entire half hour or hour with all of that. And at the end, they say, how come you didn't get my grandmother? So some people will play the game of no matter who I get, they'll ask for who they didn't get. So I've changed that procedure to you have to pick your own person so that we aren't playing the game. We're just going to go straight to whoever you want. So she says to me, Kelly, I want my daughter. And in that moment, I can see exactly how much stress she's in. And I can tell you, I have a ton of empathy for her. I can't even fathom sitting in front of a medium if I had lost you and trying to get my shit together. So I can have tons of empathy for her. And I say to her, I'm so sorry that you've lost your daughter. This must bring you a ton of anxiety. And she goes, mm-hmm. And you can see the tightness in the response and the attempt at control of the emotions of sadness and the grief. And her daughter comes in and starts and says that she, for the validations, and says things like that her dad is alive. And that it's her biological father that her mother is with. And I offer that. She agrees. I write that down. And I continue writing these things down because the guides are telling me, you better write down everything. So I do. And then her daughter tells me that she has two sisters and a brother. That is correct. And then, Kelly, I start coughing. And I feel like, what the frick is going on? So I excuse myself and I say, I need to get water and I forgot to bring some into the session. Excuse me, I need to go. So I get up and I go into the kitchen, I grab some water. I come back and I'm drinking my water. and it gets worse. And I'm like, oh shit, am I getting sick? And then I wonder because of all this influenza that's going around. And I start thinking, oh my God. And I hear, no, 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 I choked. And I'm like, what? So I put my water down and I literally feel like I'm choking. And so I look at the woman and I said, your daughter choked to death. And she went, yes. And I said, that's why I'm choking on the water. And she goes, no. I said, no, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening to me. And she goes, no, I don't see that correlation at all. And I said, no, I'm explaining to you what's happening to me so you can understand. I am now educating you as to how this works. And she starts to fight with me that this can't be. And so it's like, okay. So then the daughter says to me, Mom is sitting in my bedroom. And I'm like, okay. And she says, it's kind of my grave. And I said, what? And she goes, it's a shrine to me. It's my bedroom. She's sitting in my bedroom. She says, there's no grave. I was cremated. So my ashes are in that room. And she wants you to say things like that I'm in the room. And I said, oh, I can do that. And I said to her, you're sitting in your daughter's bedroom. And she goes, yeah. And I said, but you moved things behind you so that there was no indication. So it's just like she's got a plain wall behind her. Mm-hmm. I said, so she says you've moved things intentionally and moved the chair right there. So you're not sitting in the spot where the chair normally would be in the room. You've moved it. And she just looks at me and I said, is that accurate? I'm looking for validations. And she goes, well, if she's telling you, shouldn't you know?
Oh my God.
And I said, yes. And I said, but the whole point of getting validations is to get you to say if they're correct or incorrect and you agreed to that process.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Because I know it interrupts your storytelling.
Yeah.
Like, did they end on bad terms? Did her daughter die when they were in a fight or on not great terms together?
Yeah.
Okay. This makes way more sense to me. Because like the shit behavior, which again, empathy for, that's a horrible thing. It doesn't explain the shit behavior towards you unless she is desperately wanting to hear from her daughter, but terrified to hear what she's going to say. So it's like, I want you, but what if this is awful and I have to live the rest of my life with this?
Yeah. And like, my heart.
So she can't let you do your job.
That's right.
Even though she wants and needs you to do your job.
Right. And it's going to be my fault on social media in particular that I don't do my job.
Yeah, because that allows her to save face and say she tried.
Yes.
But it wasn't possible.
Yes.
Oof.
And she shows up on social media to do that.
And look what a good mom I am.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that I went to other mediums and they told me dates and names. They gave me this and they gave me that.
But no messages. That's another thing, right? Like she can't even or won't even work enough to give you validations in order to get to the messages, which that's is probably the part she's afraid of.
Yes.
Because the validations aren't scary. They're just facts.
Kelly, say that again for everybody.
Yeah, when a client fights giving the validations, meaning like I'm going to let you know, Karen, or you, the medium, know that you're doing a good job, mm-hmm. like you fight that process so that the medium can't get to the actual message from the dead loved one.
That's right.
Because if that message isn't flattering, complimentary, or something I feel capable of handling as the human, then I get to keep my sort of arm's distance and I'm quote unquote safe.
Yes. And then,
but it's a horrible state of anxiety to live in because you know things are unfinished. You know things are not resolved.
And this is why the guides were trying to deal with the anxiety at the very beginning of the session.
Right.
And where she was blocking the guides from helping her, blocking me from helping her, blocking her family from helping her, blocking everybody. And it goes back to her original childhood with her parents, where all of this begins, which is what the guides were trying to get to at the very beginning of the session. Mm-hmm. So you can see the complexity of what the spirit guides are trying to give to the medium to do to help the person connect to the dead person, to get the validations, and to get the messaging.
Also giving it to you in steps so that you don't panic going, oh, great, this is going to be an all-on fight.
Yeah.
That's so you're right. you're just putting one foot in front of the other, being like, okay, let's do this. Let's see how this goes. Let's see how this goes.
That's right.
Instead of the guides saying, okay, this is going to be tough from the get-go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Thank you for explaining all of that and helping the listeners understand, because some of us can go out and just hang out with our girlfriends and have coffee after we've all gone to see a psychic or a medium, and we have several of the people say, oh my God, she gave me validations and she was accurate. She was great. And a lot of us have that girlfriend that shows up and says, nope, I don't know what happened, but she sure shit the bed for me.
I couldn't be read.
Yes. And there's something that I'm also seeing in some people who feel very spiritual, who feel that they have their own gifts as mediums, that call or go to see a medium and then want to bash the medium to the friends or publicly again on social media to say they're not as good as me, or they're or I'm too tough to read. As you said, there must be something special about me.
Oh, there is. And a therapist can get to the bottom of it.
Yes. And they don't understand that they're outing themselves in social media. They don't understand that they're outing themselves with their friends, unless, of course, the friends don't know, don't understand this dynamic, or don't see or don't want to see the truth of who their friend is. Or do, and just sort of like, let it go.
Just let them be them.
Right. So I want to go on because there was a significant part of this. Her daughter says to Jean that she wants to describe the layout of the house. So she says, if mom gets up and gets out of the room, she's going to turn left and she's going to go to my brother's room. Across from that is the bathroom. And she starts to give the layout of the entire house. And Jean's response to hearing that her daughter is in the house walking around it is to say to me, what's on the wall in the bathroom? What's in my son's room in the far right corner? What is down the stairs? And so every time her daughter gives her more validations, she finds every way possible to see if she can find something I cannot do, instead of seeing and appreciating what her daughter is actually giving her.
Yeah. And I'll say too, like, as much as it's shitty behavior toward the medium, I don't even want to say you, but because I'm sure she's tried other mediums or tested other mediums. Like, that's really indicative of how she also treated her daughter.
Yes.
That's indicative of how she behaves in relationships. Mm-hmm. And again, as you mentioned, really outing herself to have others understand why conflict was probably really high when this person was alive.
So sadly, we never get, and I say sadly because I do have empathy for Jean, but she never gets to the point where her daughter actually can say the things that she really wants to say during the session, like how much she really does love her. She doesn't have an opportunity because mom keeps me busy trying to say what I see or what I don't see. And she wants to challenge every one of the gifts. Well, do you see it or do you know it? Is it in her knowing? So she wants to turn it towards, well, I actually want to challenge Karen. And I want to take up the hour by asking her detailed questions where she has to explain what she's doing.
But yeah, and there's no right answer.
That's right.
Because if you see it, well, shouldn't you just know it? And if you know it, well, shouldn't you be able to see it? Like,
yes.
It's sad, busy work. And then the sadness too, I'll kind of elaborate, is it's lost connection. It's saying, like I said, the arm's distance. I refuse to connect with you. And yet you've got the spirit world and the dead loved one showing up tenfold, saying like, okay, if you need one more validation, let's do it so we can connect with you. Yeah. Okay, you want one more validation? Okay, let's do it so I can connect with you. And then it just doesn't become doable.
Yeah. And in all of that attempt, as you're saying, for the connection from her daughter, are acts of love. It's all these bids for love that the mom rejects constantly, mm-hmm. leaving herself never being able to actually get any of her own needs met, which then proves the whole theory that my needs won't get met. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to turn it all around, and now I'm in a rage because my needs aren't met. So what do I do with my rage? Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn that then on the other person who actually just tried to meet my needs and love me, which is her entire pattern. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the session, the guides make one last stab at it because she asks to go open back to the guides, and they explain to her how her daughter and themselves have made bids for love and have made bids to connect to her. And she is furious.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause now she's hearing it's her fault.
Yeah.
Which by all accounts and measures, it is. I'm just going to say that matter of fact. I don't mean that in a judgment way.
Yeah.
She shut down connection.
Yes.
And it's not an effort to point fingers, but to understand where did the break in connection happen. Mm-hmm. We have to do that when we're solving human connection, mm-hmm. who shut down the opportunity for connection, and how do we put that channel back online?
Yeah. And then the guides say to me, we would like you to give her the resource of the book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Patricia Evans.
Karen has a death wish.
And that we would like to refer her to the first form of verbal abuse, withholding. And I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So this is my internal conversation with the guides. Like, really? Mm-hmm. Like, you want me to put the candles on the cake and light the cake? And they're like, yeah.
And the candles are firecrackers?
Yeah, we do.
Sure.
And I think it's very important for the client to hear that I'm checking in with the spirit world and mm-hmm. asking. And that I don't make these decisions because I'm spiteful or because I want to get her or because, oh, here I come. There's nothing in me that wants to hurt this woman.
No. And I think what sucks about the position of channeling, you can tell me if you agree or disagree, is that we're hyper aware of the position of authority that we have in those sessions.
That's right.
And so we are trying to modulate extra hard. Knowing that, I'm going to choose the wrong word here because I don't really know what word is fitting. But I think in the eyes of the client, we are very much a gatekeeper, even though we're not trying to gatekeep mm-hmm. communication between them and the spirit world because they haven't tapped into those gifts. They don't know how to do it. So here we are doing it for them. Mm-hmm. So you have the ability to give her daughter to her. Mm-hmm. But now you're presenting her with something she doesn't like, but she still needs you. Mm-hmm. So we're aware of that need and that inner conflict of, I don't like Karen right now. I don't like what she's putting on the table or presenting me, even though it's what the guide said to do. And I know I still need her, right? Mm-hmm. So we're modulating, like you said, tone, behavior, language, all of the things to create more and more feelings of safety. Because we know that feeling of, oh, this person has authority in this situation mm-hmm. or control or whatever, makes it 10 times harder.
Yes. Yeah. So I did. I said to her that the message that the guys were offering was the book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Patricia Evans, and that they were referring her to the first form of verbal abuse called withholding, and that would be in chapter one. Or the first chapters, pardon me, where she gets into listing the forms of verbal abuse, mm-hmm. not the actual chapter one of the book. And she just looks at me like she wants to freaking kill me. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I just stay neutral and caring. And I stay in that mindset of, I understand my position. And I understand that my job is to be calm and is to be regulated emotionally and to give her the information she seeks. That's it. And the information, and I say she seeks purposely here, because these are her spirit guides. Mm-hmm. This is her soul talking to her. So if we go back to the fact of what actual channeling is that she's speaking to her own self, mm-hmm. but a higher version of herself that knows her and loves her and cares for her. And that my intention is to, because I know all of that all the time and I'm cognizant of it second by second, is that I also need to make sure that I'm giving those messages with that intention. Mm-hmm. and delivering it and trying to keep my face in that mode, my body in that mode, everything to the best of my ability, because I am still communicating from her own soul to her. Mm-hmm. And so I do, and the session just ends really not very well, because she feels that her needs were not met in spite of the fact of all of the validations she did get and the messages she did get.
Mm-hmm. That's tough. That's really tough. I think there could be a whole debrief on what that behavior actually is, but I know this isn't the platform for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we have SIPs, is to explain behaviors and understand why we do what we do, and tools that are going to be healthier than the temper tantrums that Jean had from start to finish.
Yeah. Can you tell people where to find the SIPs that you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly where you can find early episodes of Coffee with the Sarlos. So it's on patreon.com/thesarlo, and they are monthly tools. The Sarlos? Did I not pluralize it?
No.
No.
And
well,
then you
we
made
both
me,
collaborate.
Well, then you made me second guess then if it actually was the Sarlo.
No, there's two of us. Anyway, okay. That's a tough episode. I hope it brought out people's empathy. Mm-hmm. I hope they were able to reflect on maybe what their own temper tantrums look like, because we all do them. Mm. It's not to point fingers. We all have temper tantrums, and all of those tantrums are bids for connection and needs to be met. So hopefully they can do it without going into their shame. And then figure out what they want to do to get better. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.